This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 25th, 2021. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 196. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. The Is It Just Me commentary. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And the big deal feature. The games of the great pandemic are underway in the land of the rising case counts. It's Tokyo 2020 plus one. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or there has been more hype about American billionaires in space than the Olympics in the land of the rising case counts? First Branson, then Bezos, next up Musk. Vanity rocket rides where economy seats start in the six figures. Will they join forces on a charity cover of Elton John's Rocket Man? What about billionaires in BC? Jim Pattison has donated tens of millions of dollars to build or expand hospitals. Good on Jim. Francesco Aquilini and Greg Kerfoot, they've let down the fans of their sports teams. The Canucks' 2011 and 2012 President's Trophies aren't good enough. No Canadian child goes to bed dreaming of hoisting the President's Trophy. The Whitecaps have been a disappointment since entering MLS in 2011. The Portland Timbers and Seattle Sounders have become champions. The best bet is to find new owners. Paging Francesco Aquilini. Kerfoot bought the minor league Whitecaps in 2002 and still has not sat down for an interview. Minority shareholder Jeff Mallett does the talking with the media. Aquilini will do the odd interview, and he has an active social media account. He pays for PR advice. Aquilini moved the Canucks farm team from upstate New York to Abbotsford, so maybe the AHL championship someday. But Aquilini's eyes are on a bigger prize, the Garibaldi Ski Resort near Squamish. That is, if the BC government gets behind the John Furlong-fronted bid for another Winter Olympics in 2030. But after the Tokyo Olympics are over, will anybody want to get in bed with the International Olympic Committee again? Will anyone heed the cautionary tale of the 2016 summer host Rio de Janeiro? Quote, "My advice to mayors is just do the Olympics once, never twice," said Rio Mayor Eduardo Paez. Are you listening, Kennedy Stewart?
What do you think? Email bob@thebreaker.news.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Japan Times, as virus cases rise, true cost of Tokyo Games comes into focus. From the inoculation of Tokyo Games staff, contract workers, and journalists before the general population, to the diversion of scarce medical resources and huge sums of taxpayer money, the prioritization of the global sporting event over public health has added anger to the desperation weighing on the shoulders of an already exhausted nation. Japan has spent $18.25 billion on the Games, but a government audit showed it could reach almost $30.8 billion, the most expensive summer games ever, according to Oxford University. In ABC News Australia, Star withdraws Crown Casino merger proposal in wake of Victorian Royal Commission evidence. A Royal Commission in Victoria heard Crown had been involved in illegal conduct. If successful, the merger would have created a $12 billion gambling giant. The commission's lead lawyer said Crown should not hold Victoria's sole casino license due to evidence it engaged in illegal activities, encouraged by a culture that put profit ahead of integrity. Crown has admitted its accounts were used for money laundering, that overseas junket operations were infiltrated by organized crime in Asia, and that it had underpaid tax. Crown may owe the state nearly $500 million in unpaid taxes, the inquiry heard. It has agreed to pay just $50 million. In the Taiwan News, visitors to Taiwan's Shushan told to keep distance from monkeys with herpes. Visitors returning to Kaohsiung's Monkey Mountain, as Taiwan's COVID-19 situation improves, are being asked to socially distance not only from each other, but also from the monkeys that inhabit the area, as these may carry diseases such as herpes B virus.
A 53-year-old veterinarian recently died of the disease in China, CNA reported. After the man performed autopsies on two dead monkeys in March, he developed a fever and suffered from frequent vomiting before passing away in May. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, 9 bootleg fire personnel test positive for COVID-19. Nearly 2,300 people are working to suppress the bootleg fire, which is the country's largest wildland blaze. It's burning just shy of 400,000 acres and was 38% contained Thursday afternoon. It is not yet clear whether those who tested positive were vaccinated. Fire personnel are not required to be vaccinated, though they were prioritized for shots in the spring. In the Columbian, YouTube pulls video of Vancouver Washington Public Schools Board meeting for spreading misinformation about COVID-19. The recording, originally posted to the VPS Board of Directors YouTube page, was removed by YouTube on July 17th, 4 days after the July 13th school board meeting was dominated by more than an hour of public comment featuring 18 speakers. 17 of the people spoke in person, and many comments were about masks in schools, COVID-19, and critical race theory. Among the misinformation shared were claims that masks were ineffective. Profanity by audience members also was used at the meeting. In Czech news, beloved North Island Wildlife Recovery Center bear passes away, leaves lasting legacy. Knut, a black bear brought to the center in 1996, passed away after 25 years surrounded by people who loved him. The NIWRA says lessons learned from caring for Knut allowed it to develop a world-class black bear rehab program and help rehabilitate hundreds of ill, injured, or orphaned cubs back into the wild. And these headlines in the Breaker.News. Judge sets dates, venue for BC legislature corruption trial. On the 150th anniversary of British Columbia joining Canada, a look at a flag redesign ahead of its time. Read the stories behind the headlines. Go to the Breaker.News. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. The biggest Olympics in history began July 23rd in Tokyo, in the land of the rising case counts. The great pandemic games held in a bubble, where not all athletes are immunized against the coronavirus, and where the people of Japan are on the outside looking in. The Japanese are worried that the legacy of these games will be another wave of disease and death. In February, author and political science professor Jules Boykoff was my guest on the Breaker.News podcast. Portland-based Boykoff is the author of the book No Olympians, Inside the Fight Against Capitalist Mega Sports in Los Angeles, Tokyo, and Beyond.
So there's just so many reasons to cancel. But, you know, the big one for me is definitely this is a potential public health nightmare. You could create a big old petri dish of coronavirus in Tokyo if you're not careful. And I can see why people in Tokyo wouldn't be thrilled about people coming from places like the United States, where coronavirus is running rampant, into the country and hanging out and bopping around and attending events around the Olympics. I can see how they might not like that. I mean, and so the vaccinations aren't going to be rolled out by then. And most countries that unfortunately are experiencing sort of an eco-apartheid right now are at the end of the line for their vaccines. And so, you know, there's not going to be everybody vaccinated. I don't really see why you need to put so many people at risk for an optional sports spectacle. I do see why the IOC wants to do it. It's all about the money. I do see why Tokyo might want to do it. It's partly about the money, also about maybe a little bit of pride. But if you're talking about the greater humanity that the Olympics so much says they care about, it doesn't make a lot of sense to push ahead with the Olympics, certainly not in 2021.
It's the second time for the Summer Olympics, fourth in total, in the proud sports-loving country, but a country where the public favored another postponement of the games or even outright cancellation for fear of another deadly wave of the virus. At a July 20th news conference, International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach was asked about the propriety of holding the games in this environment.
Do you know that a majority of the Japanese people is opposed to the games, that in the last few days there have been a rise in the number of positive COVID cases? What's your message to the Japanese people? They are very worried, and as Christophe Duby said recently, you might want to say that the people within the Olympic Games were being tested every day, but Japanese people struggle to get tested, and if you have a look at tests in Tokyo, you see that there will be about 8,000 tests for 14 million people, which is less than for people taking part in the Olympic Games. What can you tell the Japanese people to show them that everything is done to protect them? Apparently, a majority of Japanese people is not convinced.
We've heard today the Director General of the World Health Organization, and the World Health Organization is the highest authority on health question and the pandemic. And I think what he said about the Olympic Games and the anti-COVID measures being applied there speaks for itself. And for us, the Director General of the World Health Organization is the reference point as the international expert and as the highest representative of the international organization being responsible for the pandemic and for the anti-COVID measures. I have nothing to add to his words.
Dr. Michael Wilkinson is the top doctor for Team Canada. He had this to say about what might happen if the Olympic Village in Tokyo is hit with an outbreak.
Is there a number, especially with the amount of athletes that Canada has, where you have a plan in place, and if there's an exit strategy, say X amount of athletes have it? If you can be specific, that'd be great. Thank you.
Hi, thanks very much. And I think that speaks to the incredible pre-planning. And as I've said many times before, within the healthcare team, and in fact, the entire Canadian team, we plan for the worst and we hope for the best. So yes, we have contingency plans, and we have gone through tabletops and exercises to look at what do we do if and when we have COVID infections within the Canadian team, and how we manage different outbreaks. And you know, one of the mitigating factors that we have put in place, and it's been throughout this 17 months, is the concept of nodes and training bubbles. So trying to minimize the amount of cross contact within the team and across different sports. We look at each case individually, and one of the things that is key to this is that within the pandemic, all the factors are different for every single case. The only common factor in there is the coronavirus. And even then, that changes depending on the variant. So we have a very close look and analysis of what variant is involved, how many people, when infection took place, what the possible contacts are, and then what the living situations were, and the type of competition, et cetera. So we do not have a specific number to say if it's X percent or X number of athletes or staff or support staff that get infected. But I can tell you that we have a very low hurdle and a very low threshold of isolating and trying to contain any outbreak that could possibly occur.
Team Canada's chef de mission, Marnie McBean, on what the games mean for the athletes who made it to Japan, albeit a year late.
From the moment we asked Canadian athletes to come home and to stay in their basements and condos and homes and backyards like the rest of Canadians, we were hoping that we would get to this point where we're here at the Olympics. And I know that I've been talking about my Olympic experience for decades, which is funny to say, but they will be talking about this experience for decades. And I wanted to point out the and remind, point out to them and remind them that I wanted them to be proud of the story that they were telling. And we know, we can see it. As Canadian athletes are arriving here in Japan and into Tokyo, they are faster and stronger than ever before. Their resilience, as I was saying, to overcome bumps in the road that would otherwise have been completely disorienting. They have figured out this story, and their ability to adapt has been incredible. I think the story that they've written already is something that they can be incredibly proud of. And regardless of what happens in the next 17 days, what they're going to be saying 10 years, this, the story, their oral history of this moment.
Meanwhile, IOC members rubber stamped Brisbane, Australia as the 2032 Summer Games host, almost 6 months after closed-door negotiations began. Few cities can afford to bid on or build the games anymore, so the IOC is trying a new approach. Good news and bad news for British Columbians, depending on what side you're on. This could work in Vancouver's favor if all levels of government support the 2010 host bidding for the 2030 Winter Games. Australian IOC executive John Coates helped reform the application process that opened the door to Brisbane. He is also in charge of overseeing the Tokyo Games organization. After the IOC voted for Brisbane, Coates raised eyebrows for this awkward lecture at a press conference with Queensland Mayor Anastasia Palaszczuk.
You are going to the opening ceremony. I'm still the deputy chair of the Canada Leadership Group. And so far as I understand, that there will be an opening and a closing ceremony in 2032. And all of you have got to get along there and understand the traditional parts of that, what's involved in an opening ceremony. So no, none of you are staying behind and hiding in your rooms, all right? Never been to an opening ceremony at Olympic Games, have you? You don't know the protocols. I think it's part of the it's a very important lesson for everyone here. The opening ceremonies cost in the order of $75 million to $100 million. It's a major exercise for any organising committee. It puts the stamp on the games. It's very important to the broadcasts that follow.
The games of the 32nd Olympiad, Tokyo 2020, run through August 8th.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contract.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Canada's athletes at the Tokyo Olympics. More than half the team has connections to BC. May they reach their goals, bring home medals, and survive both the pandemic and the oppressive heat in the Japanese capital. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca.
Vaccine. I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine. Because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine. I think we all want to get back to normal, whatever that is, and that would be a great shot in the arm.
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 25th, 2021. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on July 25th in 1917, Prime Minister Robert Borden introduced income tax to Canada? Borden said it was a temporary measure due to the First World War. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.